Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. Let's pray. Holy Lord, we pray now that as we look to your word, we would receive it with joy, and that your spirit would be at work in us to believe and obey. May we not ignore this word, but receive it, believe it, and share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's read from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that, seeing, they may see and not perceive, and hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And now it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with three of my kids, Kai, Ellie, and Flick. Say hi guys.
Hi.
Now we've just heard a story from Jesus, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I have here, what are these?
Seeds.
That's right. And I have here a brick. And what I thought I'd do is that I would put some seeds on this brick. And we'll see if one day the seeds will grow. Do you think the seeds will grow on this brick?
No.
No.
Why not?
Because it's not good soil.
It's not soil.
That's right. There's no way that a seed can grow on a brick, is there? Because there's nowhere for the roots to go. There's no way for it to dig in deep. It needs some ground. Well, what about this? I have some more seeds, and I have some coffee. Now, Coffee to me tastes a lot like dirt, so maybe this will work just perfectly. What do you think? If I put some seeds in the coffee, will that work? Will the seeds start to grow?
No.
Seriously?
No, I don't think the seeds will grow in coffee. There's no real nutrients in there, is there, for the seed to grow in? But what about over here? I have some sand. So what about if I put the seed in the sand? Do you think it'll start to grow there?
No.
No.
No. I think there's still no nutrients in that sand as well. Probably not good for the seed to grow in.
No.
Well, here we go. Finally, I do have some ground. Some ground from our garden, some soil from our garden. And I'll put some seeds in there. Do you think if we left it long enough and if we watered it long enough and we gave it the right amount of sunshine, do you think maybe the seed would grow?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because the seed is in good soil. Now, Jesus told this story because he was saying that we are like one of these soils, okay? One of these types of ground, we're either like the brick, or a bit like the coffee, or a bit like the sand, or a bit like this good ground. And Jesus was speaking the word, and he was saying that the word is like the seed. And so when people hear Jesus' word, it's like Jesus is planting seed in people. And the question is, what sort of ground are they? Are they like the brick or the coffee or the sand where the seed isn't going to grow, isn't going to do anything? Or are we like the good soil? Are we people who listen to Jesus, who listen and believe him and obey him? That's the question that we all need to figure out. What kind of soil are we like? How are we going to respond to Jesus? Yes, Ellie?
Good soil.
Well, I hope that we're all like the good soil, that you and me and everyone listening, that we're all like the good soil, that we do listen to Jesus, that we do believe him. We believe him when he says that he is the king of God's kingdom, that we believe him when he says that it's by believing in him that we are saved, that we can be forgiven for our sin and enter into God's kingdom. Let's pray that we would be like the good soil and would listen to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be like the good soil, that we would hear you, that we would believe your word that you speak through the Bible. Help us to trust in you. Please forgive us for our sin. Help us to obey you so that we would grow just like a seed grows, so that we would bear fruit, so that we would be the people that you want us to be. So help us to love you. Help us to listen to you. Help us to obey you, that we would be like the good soil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Over the last few years, I've learned that you don't need to know much to have a successful garden. Knowledge is helpful, but it's not required as long as you're willing to have a go. When we lived in Melbourne, on campus at the Presbyterian College, there was a beautiful garden. One of the students had made it her project, and she'd done an amazing job. At first, we thought she must know a lot about the soil, what kind of soil it was, what plants work best there. But it turns out she didn't. She'd grab some cuttings from her own garden or buy plants from Bunnings, put them in and see what grew. There was no science behind it, just a willingness to try. Whatever died, died, and whatever grew was a success. Jesus was the master storyteller. Latching on to everyday events and people, you can imagine him looking around, seeing something, and grabbing onto that image. But these stories weren't just for entertainment. They wouldn't be told over the campfire at night to while away the hours. They were told to make you think. In our lead up to Christmas, we'll be looking at some stories Jesus told. Why was his coming so important? In his own words, what did he come to do? In this story Jesus told, he grabbed onto the image of seeds planted and growing. And through this simple image, he explains a much deeper truth. Much more important than the question, how can I have a good garden, is the question, will I believe? I wonder if you've ever heard someone say, I wish I had your faith. Maybe you're saying that right now. You wish you could have the comfort of believing there's a God in control who loves you. If that's your wish, then listen to Jesus. If you've heard someone else make this wish, listen to Jesus. He shows what it means to have faith. He tells us, be the good soil. But before we get to his story and what it means, let's look at the couple of verses in the middle. This is our first heading, verses 10 to 13, hidden in plain sight. The disciples have heard the parable we're about to look at, and they're after an answer. Jesus, they ask, what does this mean? And why are you speaking in parables? We'll see what the parable means in a minute, but first, why all this speaking in parables? These verses are the hardest to understand in this passage. Jesus answers them in verses 11 to 12. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. It's often said that Jesus spoke in parables so that everyone could understand. It was to make the truth plain to everyone. You don't need to be a trained theologian. A child can understand. And there's some truth to that. These parables are simple stories, usually giving just one major lesson. We don't normally find meaning in every detail. Occasionally, like here, Jesus gives meaning to lots of the elements of the story, but that's not normally the case. When it comes to the parable of the Good Samaritan, for example, not every detail has a meaning. There were some preachers in the first 1,000 years or so of the church who'd inject meaning everywhere. I think the inn meant the church, the two coins were the Old and New Testaments, maybe the donkey was Paul. But is that the meaning Jesus was putting into all those elements of the story? No. They gave the story depth and colour, pushing forward the main point of the story. But notice what Jesus says here about the purpose of parables. Even though they're simple stories, they're revealing secret things to some while hiding them from others. In the parables, the truth is hidden in plain sight. But who is Jesus revealing these truths to? Look at verse 11. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He's speaking to the 12 disciples and others who were around him. Jesus wasn't only followed by the 12, there was a larger group with them. And the secrets of the kingdom are for his followers. For those hearing his words, eager to learn and understand, eager to be shaped by his word. What are these secrets of the kingdom? No doubt it's the secret of what the kingdom looks like. A spiritual kingdom, not a political one. It's the secrets of the king of the kingdom, the man who is God, who'd go to the cross, which is how sinners, God's enemies, can enter the kingdom. It's the secret of how we enter, by faith. To those following Jesus, eager to learn from him, these secrets are revealed. But for others, the secrets are hidden. And there are plenty in the crowd on the outside. There are the Pharisees waiting to accuse him of blasphemy. There are those just wanting to see a miracle. They're after the spectacular instead of eager to hear from the teacher. and there are those who are curious about this Jesus. How will they respond? Will they stay on the outside, or will their curiosity drive them to discover more? For those on the outside, the secrets of the kingdom are hidden. And Jesus then quotes from Isaiah. Jesus' ministry will be similar to Isaiah's, where the people wouldn't listen, and so he was to speak in parables to confirm them in their unbelief. Not necessarily that they wouldn't understand the parables, but they wouldn't understand that they apply to them. They'd be put off by the simplicity of the stories. They'd want something more sophisticated. What about you? Are you on the outside or the inside? Are the secrets of the kingdom hidden in plain sight from you? Or do you revel in mining the gold that Jesus has for you? All that is to say, are you the good soil? And that brings us to the parable and its meaning in our second heading, Are You Listening? Verse 3, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. It's funny, isn't it, how Jesus says to both listen and behold. You could translate it, listen, look. As Jesus tells the story, he wants them to see it in their mind's eye. A sower went out to sow. And Jesus tells us in verse 14, the sower sows the word. At that point, the sower was Jesus. He's the one sowing the word as he teaches from the boat. And as we share the word with people today, we become the sower. But the greatest and ultimate sower of the word is the Lord Jesus himself. But will people listen? Verse 4, And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Can you picture it? The sower reaches into his bag of seed, pulls out a handful, scatters it, and some falls by the wayside, the path. Israelite fields were divided up by paths which people walked along, and with all the traffic they'd get, they'd be as hard as concrete. The seed which landed there had no chance of finding root. And how does Jesus interpret this? Verse 15, These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Isn't it tragic when you tell someone the gospel and they just won't open their ears to listen? Because the gospel is beautiful. It's the only message where we can find any hope. But some people won't listen. They won't have a bar of the message that Jesus is the saviour of sinners. They're offended by the idea that they are a sinner. Sure, maybe they aren't perfect, but they'd never dream of classing themselves as a sinner. And that means they'll never listen to the truth that on the cross, Jesus was taking the punishment for sinners, that whoever believes in him can be forgiven and have eternal life. There's so many strategies Satan uses to steal the word away. He takes advantage of how distracted people are, so they don't think about the deeper things of life. He taps into the modern scientific mind, which says the universe created itself, a logical impossibility. He makes us think that only what we see is real. He makes some people in church feel so superior that they don't let the word penetrate their hearts. There are people whose hearts are like the wayside, the path, in our workplaces, our families, and our churches. Satan doesn't mind if people come to church. He's happy, so long as they listen with a critical attitude, never letting themselves think that the word applies to them, never letting themselves think they actually need a saviour. The word is like water off a duck's back. It makes no impact. Are you like the wayside? The second soil he mentions is the stony ground. Verse 5, Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. He's not talking about lots of little rocks in the soil. In Israel, there was often a layer of rock underneath the topsoil. That rock stopped the root sinking down into the earth, and the sun would warm up the rock, making the seed germinate, bud really fast. And no doubt that would be exciting for the sower coming to check on his crop. We planted some tulips earlier in the year, and we'd regularly check whether they were growing. Were green shoots starting to grow? But too much warmth and no root makes for a bad combination. Who are these people? Verse 16, they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. It's a sad sight when someone withers in their faith. They started off with such joy, such wonder at the good news, excited every time they heard about heaven. But they hadn't counted the cost. They didn't understand that faith in Jesus comes with suffering. And not only the same kind of suffering that all people experience, sickness, financial troubles, relational strife, but now there's another reason they suffer. Not only because they're a creature, but because they're a Christian. Does the word have roots in your life? Are you prepared to suffer even as a Christian? Will you keep listening to the word even when that diagnosis comes, even when you lose your job, when family and friends turn on you? Will you dive into the word, which doesn't promise a life of no suffering, but a life of hope through suffering? If you're not suffering now, will you be prepared for the day you do? Are you the stony soil? The third soil is full of thorns. Verse 7, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Verse 18, they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is very common. People have always been torn away from the things of God by riches. That's why prosperity preachers are so popular. People lap it up when they're told that if they believe hard enough, God will make them rich. There are people close to me who've fallen for this lie, who've fallen away from Jesus because they thought he promised something he didn't. And so when he didn't deliver, they decided he wasn't real or not worth their time. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If your treasure is the things of this world, your heart isn't with Jesus. Don't be deceived by the temptation for more wealth. Don't be torn away by the cares of this world and the desire for other things. Do you love your money? Are you preoccupied by the things of this world? Are you more concerned with what people think of you than with Jesus' word? What fills your thoughts in your idle moments? Is it sport? Does footy fill up one half of the year and cricket the other? Is it that promotion? Would you be willing to work on Sundays, skipping hearing God's word proclaimed, skipping worship, all so you can earn more money, have greater status and more respect? What is it in your life which could squeeze Jesus and his word out of your life? The last soil is the good soil. Verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 20, these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. None of the other soils produced fruit. None were profitable. None were worth anything in the end, except the seed sown in the good ground. When Jesus returns, he'll be looking for a harvest of people who believe. And what will they believe and accept? That Jesus died their death. That Jesus rose as Lord of heaven and earth, that only through him are they forgiven. Only through Jesus can they be accepted by God. They'll believe and accept that it's not good enough to be a good person, to be generous or kind or hard-working. They'll accept that nothing they can do is good enough to earn their way into heaven. But only those who trust in Jesus' death for their sins will be welcome in God's presence. And because they've believed this, they'll bear fruit. I was chatting with a friend who understands harvests, and he translated this 30, 60, and 100-fold like this. I can't picture it, but some of you might be farmers, and so maybe this will strike a chord. A 30-fold harvest in good soil for a normal year would be 3 to 4 tons to the hectare. A 60-fold harvest would be 5 to 6 tons to the hectare. And that's a good year. But there are places in Australia in 2020 that got 8 tons to the hectare. That's your 100-fold harvest. If you trust in Jesus, you will bear a harvest with your life. There will be fruit. You'll grow in righteousness. You'll put off sin. You'll start to be known for your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You'll be generous. You'll eagerly pray and study God's word to know more of him. Verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Have you heard? Are you the good soil? Are you producing fruit for the harvest? Or does the word bounce off you like seed on concrete? Do you have no root, and so you'll wither in the heat of suffering? Are you among the thorns, with riches and the things of this world choking out the word? Do you have ears to hear the word of Christ crucified for sinners? Do you believe? Jesus calls us now, be the good soil. Let the word penetrate your heart. Persevere through the trials and sufferings of life. Treasure Christ and his word more than the things of this world. None of that will be easy. Each of them will take a lifetime to battle against. But if you believe and accept and bear fruit, you will show yourself to be the good soil. You will gain eternal life, eternal joy, eternal peace. As we approach Christmas, trust the one who was born to die to pay for your entry into the kingdom. Be the good soil. And let's pray. Our God, we pray that your word would sink down deep into our hearts, that it would have deep roots so we could stand fast in the face of suffering, persecution, and adversity. That we would be filled with love for you, a love which is greater than our love for anything else in this world. We pray that we would be the good soil and delight in you, your ways, your kingdom, and your glory. Give everyone listening faith, I pray. Forgive us our sins and receive us into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. With the current regulations, we are back to one service at 10 a.m. This service is open to everyone, regardless of vaccination status, and you don't need to book your seat. I hope to see you there next week at 10 a.m. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.